I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 3. And we're going to go to some familiar portion of Scripture. And I don't know if any of you all noticed, but on the sign I put Power of Liberty. I was praying, this week and asking God to show me what He would have me share with our church today, because it being a holiday weekend. And I am very, very grateful for the men and women that have died giving their lives so that I can have freedom. And as I got to thinking about all of that, and I got to thinking about liberty, and and what's even amazing, we've had our service men and women give their lives not only so that we could have freedom here in our country, but they've also for years have gone to other countries, assisting them and helping them to have freedom and to have liberty. And liberty as I got to thinking about liberty, liberty is a very powerful tool. And without liberty, there is no power. And as I think of a lot of situations today, I'm going to do my best not to be political here, but I am very grateful for those who sacrificed and have given their lives, and my grandfather has passed away, and he served in the Marine Corps. Tammy's grandfather, he served in the Navy. I've known men and women who served. I remember as a young man working the bus ministry in our church. We had a man by the name of Doc Martin, and he was actually one of the men and the scientists in the service who developed the atom bomb. And by the time I met Doc Adams, he was very, very old, but still very, very sharp. And he was almost completely deaf. And he would come to our church, and he would ride my church bus. I would go by, and I would pick him up, and he would get on my bus. And I had the privilege of walking him in every Sunday morning, and we had this ritual because in our church at that time, in the second row there was little boxes where Doc Martin and other people could plug in their headphones and put their headphones so it could be turned up really loud and he could hear the service. And Doc Martin, he was so deaf that if you sat beside him, you could hear the sermon coming out of his earphones as well. But he had this ritual every morning, and I'll tell this, and as a teenager, it was very embarrassing, but it was also an honor because I had to help him go down the aisle. And our church at that time seated about 600 people. And that was a long walk. And every Sunday, when I would bring Doc Martin in, I would ask him, I said, "Mr. Martin, do you got to go to the bathroom?" "No, sonny, I'll be okay." And I would walk him all the way up there, and I'd get him almost every single Sunday morning. I would get him all the way to the second row, and he would start scooting in there. And he'd say, "You know, sonny, I think I've got to pee." And that's exactly what I got out of 500 people in the church. They would all laugh. And I would turn around and I would walk him all the way back, and he'd go to the bathroom. And then I'd bring him back up the aisle again and set him down. It was really interesting listening to him and his experience, and as he shared with me, and the reason that he was deaf is during the testing of the atom bomb, he said they were several stories below ground, and the explosion of that and the radiation or whatever from it, all the men that were in that bunker, their hearing was lost. But Dr. Martin, he was still a very stout man, as far as he was really full in his mind. And I went by one Saturday and knocked on his door on the little trailer that he lived in, where we picked him up, and I looked, and there was a hole in the side of his trailer. And by looking and identifying the hole, it was a hole made by a shotgun. And now this really began to worry me, because I could tell from the hole that it came from the inside. So I was really kind of worried, you know. I didn't think Dr. Martin was at the point of committing suicide in his life or anything like that. And so I knocked on the door, and I could hear him stirring around in there, and he come to the door. And so I was glad to see that he was okay. And we were sitting there, and so I was asking him and talking with him, and I asked him, you know, Brother Martin, why is there a hole in the side of your trailer? He said, well, he said, they think I'm losing my mind. And he said, they came for me this week. And he said, they were going to take me and put me in a home. He said, I intend to die here in this trailer. And he said, so when the MPs come and they told me I had to go, he said, I told them just a minute. And he said, I went down to my room, I got my double barrel shotgun, and I come out. And he said, you never seen two MPs run so fast. And he pulled the trigger, of course, not aiming at the MPs, but shot a hole in the side of his trailer. And those MPs decided that he was sound enough that he should be left alone. And finally, the Lord did call Dr. Martin home. But it's exciting. I also in my years of having the opportunity to sit and listen to the stories of how we have the freedom that we have here today, and people that have served. There's a man by the name of Grady. When I served in Birmingham, Alabama, as a youth pastor, he was on one of the ships when Pearl Harbor was struck. And he was down in the bottom of that ship, and praise the Lord, he made it out. He said, but many of his comrades went down with the ship. And as he would talk about that day, and as he would talk about that story, he would weep. But each encounter that I've had with soldiers who have given their service to our country and had the opportunity to sit and talk with them, I've not met a one that ever said, I wished I'd never done that. All of them were glad to go serve our country and do what they needed to do to allow us to have the freedom that we have today. And you know, it kind of fears me a little bit when I look at everything that's going on today, when young people don't hear those stories anymore, where young people, where history and vital information of our history and how this great country came about to be is being wiped out and taken away. And you see, when that happens, and every time that happens, folks, we lose more of our liberty. And the more liberty that we lose, the less power we have. Amen. You know, it's like a old grizzly bear with no teeth, or a lion with no claws. May look pretty, may look vicious, but there's just not a whole lot there. And as I got to thinking about it, I began to look at things and I began to think about the power of liberty. I began to think in my mind, liberty. What exactly is liberty? So I went to the good old-fashioned 1828 dictionary and I looked it up. Liberty. Freedom of the will. freedom from restraint, in a general sense, and applicable, there we are, to the body or to the will or mind. And as I begin to ponder and I begin to think about liberty and what it meant, freedom of will, I begin to look at my own life and I just begin to think and just really concentrate on liberty. And as I was sitting there studying and thinking about it, I come to the realization that the liberty of freedom also comes at a great cost. What is liberty? Freedom of will. Liberty of freedom also comes at a great cost. You know, we've already talked about, we have the freedom that we have today because there were men and women who totally surrendered. Starting out, going, hoping to come home, but knowing the possibility of coming home may never happen. You know, we just stood here this morning and we pledged allegiance to the flag. The American flag. It grieves me that there are people in this country today that'll take a knee to the flag. Amen. They don't have that right. Amen. They don't have that right. And we need to let them know they don't have that right. Too many men and women shed their blood and pledged their allegiance to the flag, into the country, so that we could have freedom today. You realize if those men and women had not done that, we would not be having church service here today. Because our government has already proven that they would not allow it to happen. Liberty, it comes with a great cost. And that great cost is total surrender. I wonder how many of us here, if need be, would be willing to pay that price. How many of us dads would be willing to pay that price for our children? How many of us grandparents and grandfathers would be willing to pay that price? Total surrender for our grandchildren as we pledged our allegiance. You know what we were saying? I'm committing. That word pledge means to commit to. I pledge my allegiance to the flag and to the country. Total surrender. I got to thinking about liberty, a freedom. It's about having a choice between right and wrong. You see, it's not about just willy-nilly and no responsibility. Liberty is about a choice. And the choices are, folks, it's nature. It's the way God created it, and you may not like it, but it's the way it is. Liberty is the choosing between right and wrong. So if it isn't right, it's wrong. Amen. And if it's wrong, it isn't right. You see, what liberty does is it empowers us to make the right choice, to make good choices. As I got to looking at liberty and thinking about it, I thought to myself, where did this ideal of liberty, of freedom, come from? Who designed it? Who thought it up? Where did it come from? Where's its foundation? And as I asked myself that question, and as I thought about it, the answer was right in front of me. God Himself. You see, because with liberty, I have power. Liberty is the freedom of will. I'll get to our scripture reading here in just a minute. But think with me for a moment here. In the garden, the Bible says that God, in Genesis, the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth. Created them all perfect. Made a garden. Created man. Created a woman. Put them in the garden. They were perfect, flawless, and they were in a perfect environment. They're not in the environment we're in today. Their environment was perfect. And God told them that they could eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You see, God gave them liberty to choose. You know why God gave us that power? Because what God wants is a relationship with you. What God wants is you have the liberty and the freedom to choose Him. Now, unfortunately, we have read the Bible and we know how that story went. Adam and Eve chose wrong. With the liberty of freedom and the power of liberty, it comes with great responsibility, and it comes as a relationship as God desires to have with us. But it also has consequences. Your liberty of freedom, your power of liberty comes with consequences. And those consequences are based upon the choices that you make. As Adam and Eve, they made the wrong choice. You know, I thank God for His grace. Because He wasn't satisfied with that. His grace said, even though they made the wrong choice, I want to give them liberty and opportunity for a second chance. I want to give mankind opportunity. I want each and every, God wanted each and every person to have power of liberty, the freedom to choose. Now we see throughout the Bible, we see several examples of that. Good example of that is Noah and the ark. When God said it repented him, that he repented of what he had created, and people's minds and were evil, and only the Bible says in continuous, and their sin was what was before God, which is to say it was in God's face. And in Noah's day, we have the same situation that we have today: people shaking their finger in the face of God and saying, "We're going to do what we want to do, and there ain't nothing you can do about it." You see, power of liberty comes with responsibility. Power of liberty, yes, you have a choice, but there's also consequences in that choice. Well, we know how it worked out for Noah and his family. Seven of them got on the ark, and the rest perished. You see, that's God's grace. That's God's grace making a way for still mankind to have a relationship with Him. We see several other examples. The children of Israel were also a great example of that. And we could go on Bible story after a Bible event after Bible event and give you illustrations on how God, from the very beginning, and as the Bible says, the Lord Jesus, or that God rested on the seventh day. And we've already talked about that. He didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because everything that needed to be was done and set in place for man to always have power of liberty. And we see throughout the whole Bible how illustrations and everything is taken and leading through that. So God created it. A true relationship comes by choice. In the garden, and the devil's still at it. The devil stole it. I put down here next to my paper a power grab. Put man under bondage. Not freedom, bondage. You think about what the devil's all about and what evil and sin is about. You turn on the news today and you look at some things. You look at what's going on in our government and the power grab that's going on. And it is nothing but straight from the devil's playbook. Because the devil knows if we have power and liberty, and we're not under bondage, we'll choose right things. And I thank the Lord that God restored it. He restored liberty. True relationship comes with a cost. That brings us to our scripture. Let's look at our scripture here. Let's look at it really closely. You say, well, I know where you're going, preacher. I've read this and I've looked at it over and over again. But let's look at John chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 16 to verse number 21. For God, I love how that starts. For God so loved the world, even them downright dirty, rotten sinners like us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what that verse means? I got power of liberty back. I got the opportunity, the freedom of will to choose right or wrong. And I thank God, as a 15-year-old young man, I made a decision and I chose a relationship with Jesus Christ. I chose a relationship with God. And I never have to worry about it again, because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Power of liberty comes with a great price. Sin debt had to be paid for, and it could only be paid for by death. And God cared so much about us. And having the freedom of will, that he gave his son. Gave the Lord Jesus Christ to come and die on the cross and to pay for the sins of the world. And it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what we've been talking about here today? Follow with me on in the next verses here. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, the devil stole the freedom of will. The devil stole liberty. The devil got in there and the devil messed things up. So you know what God did? God sent his Son. You see, God, the Bible says in verse number 17, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't have to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. But that the world through him might be saved. God restored the relationship, but it comes with great cost. Verse number 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. You know why I have power of liberty today? You know why I'm going to go to heaven when I die? Not because of me. It's because I accepted the gift that God gave, and that was Jesus Christ. I accepted the gift that he gave on Calvary by dying and paying for my sins. And the only way that you that are listening today, and the only way that you can have power of liberty is through the Son. It's through Jesus Christ. Without him, you can't have it. You say, well, you know, I'm not so sure I agree with that. You know, the previous verse told us that God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. The verse number 18 goes on to tell us, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You see, after the fall of man, when you were born into this world, you were born into sin. And that sin took away all your power of liberty. That sin holds you in bondage. That sin keeps you from having a relationship with an almighty God. That sin will keep you from spending eternity in heaven with God forever. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, the devil stole it, and God restored it. Verse number 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Have you ever really thought about that verse? And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Now we know that that's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into the world. And his light showed up the darkness. His light showed the sin of the world. But the Bible says here, men love darkness rather than light. Why are bars dark? Why are nightclubs dark? Why in the section of the restaurant that you go into that has a bar, why do they have the lights turned down so low that you can't see? Why do the hoodlums come out at night and burn stuff down, kill people, and rob? Well, you see, the Bible says because men love darkness rather than light. You see, they don't want their deeds being seen. Now, again, I told you, I'm going to try not to get political here, but I've noticed some things on the television lately. We got some politicians that don't show up, and they're hiding. And when they do, they're always wearing dark glasses where you can't see their eyes. You say, well, what has that got to do with anything? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You see, when you're not trying to hide something, you come out in the open. When you're not trying to hide something, you're out there. You're honest. And using some words that they use, you're transparent. Now, that's my political part. But the Bible says here, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You know why we hide our sin? Because we're ashamed of it, and we should be. You know what the gospel does? You know what the light of the Lord Jesus Christ does? It reveals sin. You know why some of you won't pick up your Bible and read it at home? You know why you won't study it? You say, well, I don't understand it, preacher. That's why I don't do it. No, that's not why. Because you don't want the Word of God revealing your sin. You know why some people don't come to church? Because they're enjoying what they're doing at home. They're enjoying the sin. And they know if they come to church and they get under the preaching of the Word of God, what they're going to hear they don't like, because they're enjoying the bondage that they're under. You see, they're not free. They're tied up. They're bound. I'm not bound in a life of sin. I thank the Lord for that. Not because I'm a good man. It's because Jesus Christ died for me. And I try my best to guide my life by the Word of God. I try my best to never make a decision without first consulting God and finding out what direction He wants me to go. And you know where I find it? Right here. I told the young men, and I told our teen class today, we were discussing the Bible, and I told them that the Bible, there is not a circumstance in life that is not covered in the Word of God. There'll be nothing happen to you in this life where the Word of God will not help you through it, help you see right from wrong, and help you know which way to go. Amen. You say, well, I read the Bible all the time and I don't see it. Where are you reading it to read it, or are you reading it to follow it? You see, it's like pledging to the flag. We all pledge to the flag, and then we pledge to the Christian flag, and we even pledged our allegiance to the Bible. But if we got aside and we examined each one of those circumstances in our life, really, where is our allegiance? Did we really mean what we said? Let's go on a little bit further here. Verse number 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doth evil, listen to this, hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You know why there's so many people right now against the church and against Christians? You know why they threw the Bible out of school? You know why they throw the Bible out of the government? Because they don't want their deeds reproved. They don't want their deeds shown. Because when you put the light in, darkness becomes very obvious. The Bible says, "For everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. But he that doth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God." Christians, we got to come to the light. We got to get things right in our heart. And we got to come to the light so that our deeds will be manifested. You say, "Well, I don't know if what's going on in my life. I really want other people to know." Well, I'd say that's a deed in your life. You probably ought to get right with God. If I can't know about it, or if I shouldn't know about it, or if you would be embarrassed that I do know about it, I'd kind of wonder. Christians, the devil is committed. God restored our power of liberty. The devil lost it, and I wrote next to my paper here, can't compete with blood. You know what we have, Christians? We're bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're under His shed blood. You know why that makes the devil so angry? You know why that upsets him so much? Because he can't defeat the blood. He can't defeat the blood. He lost. It's over. The devil doesn't have me. And you know what God did for me? He gave me a true relationship. He restored me back to power of liberty. But with that restoration, it comes with a cost. First of all, it cost Jesus His life. And it comes with a cost, because it's so precious. I need to let others know. I need to stand for the freedom of others. As men and women died to give us a free country where we can serve God without fear of imprisonment or death. Folks, you know what the power of liberty needs to cost a saved born-again Christian? Of going out and fighting for the freedom of other people. Taking the gospel to them and sharing with them that God loves them and Jesus died for them, and they don't have to stay under the tyranny and the bondage of the devil. We have the power of liberty. The freedom of will. You know, I don't have to go out and tell somebody about Jesus so I can earn my way to heaven. Because whether I do or I don't, I'm on my way to heaven. But I do it because I love my Savior. I do it because I love the God who in His infinite wisdom wanted to have a relationship with me and did whatever it cost, did whatever it took to give me the power of liberty to choose right. He didn't leave me under the bondage of sin in death. He paid the price so I could live. Christians, how can we not proclaim it? How can we continue to live like we are in bondage when we're actually the freest people out? The Bible says in verse number 21, "But he that doth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." Christian, you know when you're living a successful life is when people see God in your life. When people identify you as a Christian, when people identify you as someone who is following God. We have spent too many years, brothers and sisters in Christ, trying to blend into the world. Let's stop blending and start preaching. Let's stop trying to act like them and let's get a little bit more closer to the light so that we'll be manifested. Two kinds of people that are listening to us today. There's two kinds of people that are in the church here this morning. Free or bonded. Saved or lost. On your way to heaven or on your way to hell. And the only way to heaven is through putting your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. If you're depending on anything else, church membership, growing up in a Christian home, your good works, your baptism, taking the Lord's Supper, whatever that you're depending on outside of being saved and born again and bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary Tree, anything outside of that, you're lost. You're lost and you're on your way to hell. Not because God wanted it for you, because He already showed us He didn't. And He paid a great price. So as God speaks to your heart, will you respond to the invitation today? Brother Chuck, and you guys will come and do our invitation. We'll have our invitation song. I trust that you understood what I was talking about today. Power and liberty. God has so empowered me with the freedom of will. It's a privilege. It's a gift. And it's a responsibility. And I want to be as faithful as those who have gone on before me. I think of here lately the missionaries that have passed. Brother Smythe and Brother Farrell, Brother Smythe, Brother Farrell. Soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what their goal was? Was to proclaim the gospel. Their goal was to get the word of God into as many people's hands and salvation to as many people as they possibly could. I want to be like the George Prinzings in my life. That was faithful and served God and never quit. I want to be like the Carlos Demarest in my life that unashamedly went and everywhere he went preached and proclaimed the Word of God. Going up and traveling up and down the highways of America, going into the restrooms and throwing tracts underneath there. Here, read this while you sit there. Read this while you sit there. Never backing down from anybody and an opportunity to preach the Word of God. On his deathbed with Parkinson's, he could no longer swallow. He could no longer eat. His hands shook. The day he died, God sent a new nurse to his room. He couldn't swallow. He couldn't speak. And his hands were so shaky, he couldn't even write anymore. But he asked his wife for a piece of paper and a pencil. And he scribbled on that paper. And he showed it to his wife. And she read his scribbles, because she knew what was in the heart of Carlos Demarest. And he went through the entire plan of salvation and led that nurse to the Lord Jesus Christ before he closed his eyes in death. Amen. He used every ounce of life that he had in him to proclaim the wonderful light and the Word of God that lived within him. I want to be like that. I want to be like that. I don't want to cower down. I want to ramp up. I want to preach. I want to shout. I want everybody to know that I have a great Savior. Not only loves me, but he loves the world. And folks, I desire for us as a church to have the same burning desire in our hearts, and that we won't let it go.